We are into Session 11, Infiltration, Placement, and Targets. This is the Black Awakening, the Internet course. And you are on page 14 and 15 in your notes right now, if you're using those. Again, may God give you just an insight, quicken you as a leader. And may the Spirit of God give you just tremendous perception. Some of you may be realizing that you have infiltrators around you and sleepers around you. As you go through these sessions, some of you may begin to suspect this, and it's very important that we don't move to what in the book of Timothy it calls evil suspicions. So let me warn you ahead of time not to begin to become suspicious or paranoid about anybody. The Spirit of God does not work through evil suspicion or through paranoia. He operates in a clarity and in evidence and a clear demonstration. So let's ask right now that God would give us Holy Spirit perception, that He would uncover, that He would expose, that He would show, and give us key factors in understanding infiltration, placement, and targets, and then also the sleepers coming up in session 12. Lord bless you and keep you and make you strong, and I encourage those who do get a hold of this down the road, chosen ones, sleepers, others, and so forth, that eventually get a hold of this. May God rip you out of that satanic stronghold. In the name of the King of Heaven, the Lord Jesus, and may He free you before you ever do what they have injected you, imposed inside of you. Do what you need to do to stop it. For the rest, let's take a look again. Page 14, Infiltration and Placement, we'll look over first. Infiltration. Now, this is a kind of a major term to be using, especially among Christians. We don't play this game. We don't. I mean, we have missions where we go to continents and islands and areas and nations, but it's well known when we go what we're all about. You know, carrying the banner of the cross and the Word of God and taking the message. So on the side of the Kingdom of God, it's a very open thing that we are doing. Even in countries where we have to be a little bit quiet and, you know, share the faith in the context of laws and so forth. But infiltration is quite different because satanic infiltration is quite different because it has everything to do with extreme seduction, seducing, deception, plotting, planning, and the ultimate end of it is the harm of individuals and the idea of the Black Awakening. Black Awakening could never occur without this level of infiltration. The infiltration could never occur without infiltrators. And so if you are working with or counseling those who are multiples, those who have SRA, MPD, DID, whatever you want to call it, I'm going to tell you again that it's not just all about victimization and harm. It's also about who they are, who they've trained on the inside. They have, as we said already, all kinds of individual personalities that have been programmed for different issues. And one of those, or two of those, or even backup personalities are programmed with infiltration. And they're trained, and they know how to do it. Now, if you go back to the scriptures in Galatians, you're going to read about how infiltrators came into the early church to spy out our freedom in Christ. Judaizers were coming around and playing this game of infiltrating the church, only to go back to report to the others so that they can bring harm. And it was clearly recognized and seen there in chapter 1 of Galatians. Also in the book of 1 John, the issue of Gnostics. Gnostics were infiltrators. They didn't mind infiltrating at all. Now, in the world of traditional Satanists and regular Satanists out there, and even in the sense of Satanists who are not dabblers, but on just, you know, a lower level, in the sense that they are getting into a smaller coven or whatever, and part of their job is to get into a church and maybe bring havoc or break into a church and and we've been to churches like this where they've, you know, desecrated the church or whatever, and part of the entrance into a coven is that you have to do this. Well, we're talking about something far deeper, right now. And for you and I, we're years behind. They've been placing people all the way back into the 60s. And their process is being refined, and they're doing a better job at it, and they're broadening it, and they are having numerous backups to it. But let's begin to look at what infiltration is all about. The issue of infiltration is that personalities are trained on the inside of cult multiples to infiltrate places. We'll look at a few moments, churches, governments, things like that, that they have trained. They've been trained to infiltrate. Whether they've been shown tapes, as some have told us, whether they've had others take them to churches or places and show them how to do things, or literally meetings where they've been told, this is what you do, this is how you do it. Go forward in a church, raise your hand, say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, you know. And well, they mean praise Satan, but they don't mean praise the Lord. They talk about how to, you know, get in among the leadership and pastors and so forth. Trained infiltration is clear. I mean, anybody who does any kind of study on the CIA and spies, you know that spies are created to be moles, to get inside the Russian government or to get inside the Chinese government and vice versa. We have infiltrators here in the United States. We have Islamic infiltrators. We have Chinese, Russian. We have numerous political and governmental and military infiltrators in governments all over the world. And if anybody does a study of occultism, when you begin to look at the Rosicrucians, when you begin to look at the Masons and Freemasons, the OTO, the Golden Dawn, and all of those, you're going to see that they were masters at infiltrating each other's organizations and playing the game of elitism and having the higher hand. And so that was involved in occultism. It's involved in politics and political areas. Even Republicans and Democrats do it. They send people in, a Democrat into the Republican headquarters to act like they're all for the Republican candidate, and they're to get information, to scoop inside stuff and to send it out, and vice versa. They do this to each other. Also, this is done in cyber wars, in intelligence wars with companies and so forth, where people will literally get a job in another company and a multi-billion dollar company only to get information so they can share it with competitors. So the idea of infiltration is not old, and it's not a little thing. It involves millions of dollars. It involves political powers. It involves cultic placements. And in this case, it involves the preparation of the Black Awakening and the rise of the Antichrist. Some of the infiltration is directly for the sake of the Antichrist. And the closer we get to that day, the more their plan will be in place. So trained infiltration, if you're working in counseling with multiples and those and others like them, you're going to find that somewhere along the line, if you find somebody that's an infiltrator, then ask them. Sit down with them and talk with them. We've done this for hours upon hours. I even had those who were infiltrators. I did an interview years ago for a Shattered newsletter, and I just literally put their information in and showed how they infiltrated and named the organizations they infiltrated and why they were doing it. So talk to them if you are working with them. Just know that they've had training in it. And be careful that as they're telling you information or whatever else, that it's not part of their infiltration to bring you disinformation while they are infiltrating and being placed right next to you for the sake of reconnaissance and so forth. That brings us to the very next step, and that's the idea of befriending the target. That's part of how they're trained to befriend the target. That's how they would get in. And, you know, somebody who's very friendly and very, you know, nice to you and so forth in a job situation, a church situation, in government, law enforcement, whatever, they're targeted to go and make friends with you if you're the target. And if you're looking in your department, or if you're looking in your church, look at the leaders and see who's befriending them and who's getting next to them and who's getting around them, who's constantly giving gifts, strange gifts, and constantly, you know, bringing things. They want to befriend so they could be near the target. And if they can't get directly to the target, they may get next to who's next to the target. A secretary. You know, somebody else that's around, a family member even. So they can begin to get closer and closer. So if the target is a specific leader and they can't get directly into and into a relationship with that leader, they'll eventually want to get to the people that are close to the leaders. So leaders, take a look around you and see what's going on. May God give, again, you discernment and insight and preparation. Part of the issue of infiltration is reconnaissance, so that they can keep their eye on you, what you're doing, what your organization is doing, what your department is doing, and be able to report back so that covens and groups and so forth can do their occult-level warfare and make their plans. The reconnaissance is to tell what you're teaching, what you're showing, what you're developing. Reconnaissance is to tell, you know, if it's in law enforcement, government, and other places, you know, where the weapons are, where the keys are. Reconnaissance is to give all the information necessary to accomplish their ultimate goals. So there's going to be this sense of, and we've found where on computers, individuals have, you know, we recovered emails where they were literally sending emails. We recovered papers and letters and notes and things like that along the way. We even did surveillance in the sense of bugging with tape, with taping. We've done that in the past. And we've had hours and hours of recorded information. But the majority of the information really did come from just hundreds of hours in the context of these many, many years of after ministering to and getting to individuals, then some of the most pertinent information will come from the horse's mouth, from a real infiltrator, some personality that's been structured within and programmed within that you've gotten to, that the Lord has helped you reach, and that they have come to turn to the Lord so that, you know, they begin to tell. And let me tell you something concerning, you know, if you're asking the question sometimes, well, how do you know when a real cult multiple is really on the Lord's side and on your side and really, you know, all the way over? Because sometimes it can seem like, you know, partially there, but they're always coming up with new personalities, things like that. And one of the things that a long, long time ago the Lord, you know, showed me is I really agonized over this issue. Because sometimes it seemed like no matter how long we worked with some, there ended up being another personality or another personality or another area where compromised issues and things were going on that they were doing that we'd have to almost like start all over at times. And part of the issue was when I said, Lord, what? How will we know? And here's what I found to be a rule too. When they can begin to turn on the covens and the information, when they actually begin to turn against evil, when they begin to do that and turn around and really expose and really not give you disinformation, not give you old information, but begin to really have a heart to expose what's going on and show you things and tell you things, then you may be at the point where you can trust a once trained, highly trained infiltrator to give you now information. And we've had it to where not only did they give us information, but they even helped in the setting up of handlers and others to where we got information and began to see how their operations work. So kind of a counter infiltration. And sometimes, as we see in the Old Testament, there is this level of going into Jericho, going into the, you know, the land of the Anakites and other really highly cultic nations, and spies from Israel were sent in to spy out the land and to come back with a report. So please understand that even in the Old Testament, we see this in the warfare, the development of the nation of Israel. So we know that law enforcement needs vice and again, placing officers in schools and other places that will eventually inform. They call them narcs and so forth. They're going to inform on informants. Well, infiltrators have will also inform out of this idea of reconnaissance, but they're primarily there to eventually fulfill what the sleeper inside has been trained and empowered to do, which may be to sabotage a department, to blow up something, to shoot certain leaders, etc. One of the other things that you see against with infiltrators, and it's part of a key, is the idea of association. They just they love everything you love. All of a sudden, I just like, you know, if you like a certain kind, if you like Dr. Pepper, it's all you drink. All of a sudden, they like Dr. Pepper, and they're bringing you Dr. Pepper. You like you have a hobby in boats, and you keep little model boats, and you know, if you have a specific hobby, what they've already done in their infiltration before they've even made contact with you is to observe you, make a little file, and see what your likes and dislikes are, so that when they get near you, you're going to be able to associate with them, so they can break down walls of they can literally have a vulnerability excuse me in you. Because, you know, they like what you like, and you're finding somebody that's like on the same level. You have things in common, and they like to do that. They like to find things in common and then associate with you and be near you and have interactions. And while a cult multiple is having those kind of interactions and eventually get invited over to your house or to a picnic or something so they can stay around you. They need to stay around you. Ultimately, there's a driving force on the inside. It's almost like they need to be your best friend. And they need to be around you. And they need to know where you're at. And eventually, that, you know, if they're in churches and buildings and other places and government, whatever, they want to get access. And that's the next point, access. You know, if they can get access to the keys of the church building so that they can just come in and play the piano, or they can come in and on their own and clean or whatever else. Well, those keys may be given to other coven members that eventually, you know, come into the church at, you know, midnight or whatever, middle of the night, on specific, you know, satanic holidays to do rituals and to perform things. And that's part of what they love to do. And to keep that satanic blinding over leadership and over a church, to keep you blinded. And they may even do a ritual. Like, there's one ritual that the hands of glory and the cutting off of hands and petrifying them and so forth and leaving them on the altar. Part of the involvement of that ritual is to give them invisibility. And so please understand, when it comes, I don't care if it's government, military, law enforcement, we've seen this a lot in the law enforcement side of it, and we have engaged it a lot in discussion on the military side. Please understand, as Christians pray for leaders and people in government and law enforcement to get saved, to know Christ, for God to put their hand on them and help them and guide them in the right way, you've got to understand the cultic level of warfare behind and in the infiltrators of the Luciferian camp. And they've been doing it for years. You've got to understand how they're able to do it. Just take a look again at the Masons. The Masons have infiltrated every part. They are part of the, if not the, shadow government in among presidents and among senators and in the White House and in military and in law enforcement. They have made a major agenda as far as infiltration, drawing membership in. Think about it, 50,000 different Masonic temples in the United States. Look in your village right now where you live, or your city where you live. You're going to find a Masonic temple. You ever see anybody go in there? I mean, who, you know, that's a great place to target in prayer and to really begin to do some, you know, some spying out there and some checking. You know, where are the meetings and who have they connected to and who are, you know, the people that go to those meetings? Pretty soon you're going to find them to be chief of police, leaders, government, so forth. Even they've recruited some unwitting pastors to be in lower level stuff. And part of the reason for that is to give reports on what's going on in the churches. And I'm telling you, it's how it is. We had a guy show up at our church years ago at one of the meetings, and we were having, actually it was a shatter meeting using the building I was at when I was pastoring, and we had a guy come in from a very large church, and he's very involved in understanding the conspiracy and things like that. And sure enough, As we're going over this kind of concept here, he's talking about how he was invited to a Masonic building by his uncle and brought in and so forth, and he went past the room. His uncle had had to go to a different place and left him there. Well, he wandered down the hall because he heard voices, and he looked in, and he was listening a little bit to a guy giving a report to a group of other leaders. This, again, in a Masonic temple. The guy giving a report was on the board of that large church, and he was telling them all about their finances and what their plans are and everything else. So what's that tell you about infiltration, even on a Masonic level? Their goal is to have massive information about you, massive information about your church, massive information about the law enforcement, inside law enforcement, everything. And who knows concerning how, you know, maybe we need to really take a deeper and broader look at the Masonic temples and whether they're going to be staging grounds for sleepers and, you know, all the meetings that do go on there and what upper level leaders are really committed to. As far as not only are they committed to Luciferian doctrine and principle, but do they have a hand, which we have found in many of the victim cases, in being handlers and splitters, programmers, and so forth. So if you can understand even the Masonic side of things, you'll begin to understand broader and broader this issue of Luciferians putting their folks into places by infiltration. As a matter of fact, they'll even have their people take on, you know, at a university. You know, they'll go get a degree. They'll do anything. They'll be trained to do so. Personalities will be trained to take the courses. We have a number that are, you know, in courses and taking studies and it's going to be used, or they'll join the ROCT, or they'll join whatever, or they'll apply for a job at a police station. And it's all about getting in, infiltrating, and becoming a part. And now, if there's already one infiltrator in there, then they'll play a part in getting a second one in, and a third one in. So they're working, their job would be a front for the ultimate issues of being a, you know, the sleeper inside and what it's going to do at the activation of the Black Awakening. So they're going to take a job. Their job itself, their working is nothing more than a facade. They're just simply doing it, and they might be doing it very well. And this is exactly what we have found, not only in the CIA, where I think a lot of it's been created anyway, but from those mill labs, and from those places they have been saturating U.S. military. Well, we'll talk about the targeting in a few moments here, but placing them, you know, everywhere, and there's a need for that. But here's the issue of infiltration: as they come to churches, as they come to your counseling centers, as they come to your ministry areas, they want to get in. They have targeted major ministries to get into major ministries. If you are a person as well known working in the area of cult multiplicity and ministering to them and healing them, then I'm telling you right now, you're already a target from a number of aspects. You can be sure that they have your name down. You can be sure they're doing getting a file on you and your whole life. You can be sure they're targeting you in cultic warfare, targeting your family, your finances, and everything else. You can be sure. They're doing all these things. And you know, if not to bring harm now because of what you're doing and spying them out, I mean, that's part of the issue. If they find you're going too far, they've got to do something to stop you. And infiltration can be done just on the basis of getting in to stop you where you are, let alone getting in so they can have the person there as a sleeper for the future. Well, let's talk about placement for a few moments, and we'll see, again, the issue. When they're actually in a job situation or in your church or in your, you know, ministry center or whatever else, a lot of it has to do with waiting. I mean, they might be there outwardly, again, doing stuff, helping out, or even literally be hired into a governmental area, a military. They might be in a military area, whatever. The military understands how gangs and others have infiltrated to get access to weapons and to learn. There's no question about that. even when I became when I joined military science at the University of Akron and took some courses and got in there with a uniform and was learning grid all the things that I saw there. Part of the issue with the law enforcement locally was a certain couple of people that were in the ROCTC, the RTC, and the military science leadership programs, because they were infiltrating. They were part of some subgroup, kind of a cultish group. Now, I didn't get far enough to find out if they had anything to do with multiplicity and the ultimate stuff, but there was a concern between law enforcement and the leadership, the military leadership there on that university, about a certain crew of people infiltrating to get weapons, access, and knowledge. So you've got to understand that, you know, the whole issue of creating multiples, chosen ones, sprung, if you know, spring going back to Germany again, the master race issue was to create the troops, so that you're already dealing with the military and soldiers, but on the other side you're dealing with the occultic agenda, satanic agenda. So if they're placed, if they're actually in, they're in waiting. Obviously, when it comes to the issue of sleepers and the Black Awakening, it has not yet occurred. It will be unmistakable. People constantly email me about, oh, the VTech shooting, or, you know, something else that goes on, and they say, has it started? Has it started? Listen, when the Black Awakening starts, everybody will know it. Everybody will know that chaos. When the hurricane struck down in New Orleans, everybody knew it. When the planes struck the buildings, you know, and it was all the television. Please understand, when Black Awakening occurs, you know, it will be somewhat on television because of, you know, takeover there and chaos there, but it will also be in the streets, and every city, my friend, every city will know. You will know. They're there also in their placement to test the waters. They're there to see how spiritual you are and what you do know. And they're there to infiltrate. And we've had individuals come to Shatter that want to infiltrate Shatter. They wanted to find out who our leaders were. They wanted to find out where our meeting places were. They wanted to find out if we had any secrets, any secret meeting places, who we were connected to, where the networks were, anything underground, any housing, all the different things. They wanted to find out everything. And they don't just come out straight and ask you. They come out as, again, infiltrating you, placed within your organization to begin to, you know, become one of you, so they can, you know, be a part and know, and, oh yeah, we want to help, and we're going to do this, and even give ideas so that you give them further access into your organization, ministry, or church. And they're there to test the water spiritually, to spiritually discern, what do you know, and how, you know, what do you, you know, are you the kind of Christian that perceives things, and is God operating in your heart and mind and life, and do you have discernment, and can they run circles around you? Can they do rituals and get away with it around you? They want to do that constantly. So they're there to test the waters. They're there to, you know, target people around you that may have discernment, and they might want to go after them because maybe you don't, or maybe someone who's the leader that they've already done stuff against, cultic stuff, you know, cultic warfare against, to keep them blinded, but somebody else is beginning to see, they might want to do something to get them out of the way, create division, create havoc, whatever else might need to be done, so they can keep their place. They need to stay there. And they will cry and they will wail and everything else. They will want to be a part of your ministry, even when you're dealing with multiples that are not healed, and they'll want to be a part, and they want to be in, they want to be a part of the nursery, they want to be involved in ministry, they want to be in front of things, they want to be on stage. Well, let me tell you something. The rule is, for us anyway, is no unhealed multiples in any areas, any positions, any placement. And some of them will start crying out, what's the matter, don't you trust me, and, you know, and so forth and whatever, and you know, really try to put a guilt trip on you to get in. But see, they might want some kind of job area, because they don't understand, personalities below them that they are amnesic to are pushing up inside and driving them to get into places. Now, they also, while they're placed among you in law enforcement and military and government and so forth, they're getting upgrades. That's right, they're getting upgrades, just like computers do. They're eventually being called back at times. You know, personalities inside are triggered to bring the body back to the handlers, that the handlers may teach them new things, check on them, talk to the informants, you know, see, you know, where they are, whatever training they need, whatever they need to for countermeasures, and also demonization. They might need to give them more demons to keep them powered up and to keep the programming down. They may need to make sure the sleeper is down and, you know, and just really go over everything and then send them right back in there. So they might be gone for a couple days or, you know, over the weekend you don't see them Friday or Saturday, and there they are on Sunday. Whatever it may be, they may get upgrades and more training and more, you know, where they are tested on what they are supposed to be doing. Now, please understand the big plan. Years ago, a lot of the multiples were coming in, and there's a lot of information on the Monarch Project. There's a couple of pieces of information out there that, whether they're disinformation or not, where someone has come out to talk about that the Monarch Project is really a disinformation program itself, and it's really to divert people from the real thing. Well, you got to just weed through all of that. I will say this, monarchs that we dealt with had a small monarch tattooed on the left ankle. They did have a background in rogue CIA. They were highly trained as infiltrators and so forth. They're the ones probably we got most of the information from, let alone others, because they understood MKUltra and many other projects, Tapestry and Orion and Trinity and sub-projects and so forth. But the idea of Monarch, think about the Monarch butterfly. And I have purposely on the website, when you ever look at my website, you'll see a little purple butterfly when I usually deal with the Antichrist stuff or Black Awakening, whatever. It's purposely done because you got to understand how many thousands of chosen ones go to the site. I purposely do that to draw in those who may be monarchs, that they might begin to listen to everything. That's why I'm saying in some of these MP3s, because I know how it works. Sooner or later, they get out. They get to other individuals. I had one individual that said that he found a way to access all of them and get all the information, all the coursework. And we haven't encrypted all of our stuff yet, which we're going to probably end up doing when it comes to the coursework. But they're listening to everything. They're seeing even the... they're even testing our information and checking that out. We have a couple of people right now that we believe are nothing but infiltrators coming around us and showing up in our city and wanting to get with us and wanting to meet with us and doing the whole process. And we've set up, you know, procedures. And we don't do any public teaching on counter infiltration and procedures. We just don't give that information out so that they don't take it back and do countermeasures. We do have a training we do for local churches and stuff in this area, for smaller groups of individuals who will begin to implement you know, this kind of tactical spiritual perceiving. A team that will literally look for infiltration and look for sleepers and so forth. If you're interested in that, you'll have to contact me. And please understand, we guard this information and stuff that we do here pretty well. And we'd have to know you pretty well to be able to share. And it's usually on site anyway. We don't do anything paperwork or over. It'd have to be on site. So anyway. Monarchs, the only butterfly, those purple little butterflies, beautiful butterflies. I see them around where I live and up in the woods and so forth. But if you do a little study even on the web concerning monarchs, it is said about the monarch butterfly, it's the only little creature that has migrated to every continent on the earth. Now, you could do the background study on that. I don't know all about that, but this is what I've been told and read, you know, on the monarch butterfly, and this is what I've been told was one of the reasons that the name Monarch or Monarch Project was given, because of the issue of placing them everywhere. Total coverage for the total plan, with the goal being targets that the handlers and other elite leaders want to take out. So in order for the Black Awakening to occur, they're going to have sleepers who have infiltrated and are placed and are waiting with their targets in law enforcement, in government, in places. Well, that's part of the very next thing. Let me just tell you this again. It's not about just lone gunmen. It's not about just the VTech shooter and what he did. That could have been a test project with a cover story over his life. And the issue that I have with the VTech shooting is that he did it so proficiently. He did it so expertly. He did it like an assassin. He was so good at what he did. And if all he was a messed up... And that's the whole issue when it comes to multiples and so forth. When too much information or state, they start naming names or they go to court, they get personalities on the inside that have denial program or cover stories to take over. Or they even have personalities that can fringe insanity and look like they're crazy. So that if all of a sudden you just got people saying, well, they're just a crazy idiot, they were psychologically messed up anyway, and they had psychological problems, and it's all just kind of run off that way, well, we may have bought into the cover story, whereas the real trained program part of the VTech shooter did what he did. Doesn't take a lot anymore to get all that training done. We've seen it, the ability of those who are trained are extreme. They are very extreme. The suicide part of the VTech shooter was also very familiar with our understanding of the backups behind the sleepers, because they need to have a way of stopping them. Because sometimes when they switch to other personalities, the programming and a demonization that empowers the programming all kicks in. It's as if almost nothing. In our cases, we've had to have our guys sometimes literally bring down, take down, hold individuals. And what a struggle, and what an absolute struggle. Well, the idea of placement, you got to understand, placement doesn't mean that they're just, and even when we say sleepers, we don't mean that they're just totally sleeping. We mean that other parts of their personalities are active doing their job. The sleeper personality, the assassin personality, the one that has the assignment, they are put down, and in a sense, they are sleeping. The whole person is seen as a sleeper, but they're not. They're not sleeping per se. They're working in the job. They're infiltrating other personalities in a multiple. We'll be doing multiple, you know, tasks. It's just the main core, the main issues concerning Black Awakening haven't been opened up yet, and that part of them has not been released. Well, even when you deal with Muslim sleepers and things like that, which we'll talk about in the next session, 12, I believe. They, you know, they're also out there, you know, working jobs, making money, but also getting their information, coordinates, and having their meetings. Page 15 on your notes talks about targets, the ultimate goal. The issue with all of the infiltration and the placement, the issue is getting in to get to the target. That's the issue. They've got to be around the target, or they got to know where the target's at. So, when you begin to look at all of this, and again, I'm talking to counselors and many others that you've been working so hard, and maybe you've been working for a year on just the healing aspects and victim parts and home created parts, and I'm going to tell you something, you might need to begin to pray to go under the table and look for these other personalities and begin to see what happens. Because there's a lot of counselors we know that have been working with the same personalities and hurting ones and little ones and so forth for so long. But underneath whether past gatekeepers or in other rooms or down in the basement, other personalities that are there waiting that are not being touched by your ministry at all. And they're there hiding and waiting, and the upfront personalities are amnesic or they don't know, or there might be some that may, but they're so terrified to tell. I don't care how weak and pathetic even or pitiful certain personalities or victimization when it comes up seems like, and you're showing nothing but the vulnerable sense of compassion, and all you see is their hurt and pain. But if you do not see the other personalities, if you don't find the other ones, you have no idea that if they switch, they become an extremely proficient, intelligent, empowered personality that would slit your throat in a second. They're watching you. Remember we talked about concerning co-conscious? They're watching you. As you're ministering to all the other hurting parts, the rest are watching you. That's why I'm talking about having broader coverage. Be as meek as a dove, wise as a serpent. So that you don't constantly get beaten down and wasting and diverting time and seeing like you're going over the same thing again and again and again while the others are just doing what they're doing. The whole issue may have been that they've come with victim parts, or they're allowing certain levels of the victims, the home created personalities, they're allowing a certain level of stuff to come out to you so that you will deal with them and minister to them. All the while, trained personalities are infiltrating, getting close to your leadership, having cultic warfare done, taking reconnaissance, doing what they can to corrupt or bring down or compromise you in your ministry or work. And also be there placed. So let me just say this. If you are the target, then they want to have sleepers around you. And that may be in many different ways. Let me talk about the targets here for a second. Here's what we found over the years. Political leaders are targets. Let me just mention them. I'll go over the reasons. Political leaders, military leaders, law enforcement, people at the waterworks department, the department itself, the electrical grids and so forth, communication areas. That would include media, church leaders, obviously, in churches. Let me also mention what some have not heard about too often is the anti-New World Order survivalists. Please understand, they have infiltrated militias. They have infiltrated. They're looking, and maybe someone in militia is getting a hold of this stuff. Maybe some of you guys out there in Montana and other places. Well, let me tell you something. When I talk about sleepers at the end, how to look for them and so forth, you maybe really need to do an assessment of who's around. Don't forget also, primary target issues is just simply random chaos for massive effect. So that when the Black Awakening is, the activation occurs and it kicks in, the issue is partially like a massive ritual where because of the blood and the violence and the terror and the fear and all the stuff that's created in every city and so forth, that it draws a demonic presence. No different than one individual on a slab where, either rape and murder and blood is all being done, shed, to draw powers, to open the dimensions, to dirty the air spiritually. When this is done on a citywide basis, that's part of the issue, to draw the demonic power and presence. That's how they get it here. That's how they get it here. You're going to find where there's places, that's why you find this in the Middle East. That's why I hear soldier after soldier that are Christians tell me that when they stepped out into the Iraqi soil that they felt an ominous, dark, dark, dark presence, obviously. And during the Black Awakening, you're going to feel it in the air. You're going to know it's in the air. It's going to be contrary to revival and spiritual awakening. When it comes to the body of Christ, it's going to be a dark spiritual awakening. That's why it's called the Black Awakening, in contrast to the two great evangelical awakenings that struck England, the United States, and part of Europe, where millions were saved and an infusion of the work of God and the kingdom of God and an unleashing of a massive work of God, and millions turned to Christ. Well, this is to create the opposite. They want many to turn to the Luciferian side and be prepared for Antichrist when he comes to, quote, save the day. It's all there to have spiritual energy, power, to draw the masses towards the fake, friendly Antichrist who's going to pull them out of the mucky waters and be able to bring food and calm things down and everything else. That's part of it. The other side of it, though, is to, again, we dealt with already in the area of elimination, and we've been touching on that. Excuse me a second here. On page 15, political leaders are targeted specifically to have them taken out of the way, and they're assessed as an unwitting or someone who's going to be drawn into the plan, or somebody that needs to be eliminated. So I'm saying that I believe that sleepers for the Black Awakening are already placed in political areas, military areas, law enforcement areas, all those areas. We've met individuals connected in those areas, specifically in military and law enforcement, where multiples, I'm telling you right now, for those who are military-oriented, military leaders to get a hold of this, soldiers to get a hold of this, that among you all over the place are chosen ones. There are those who are multiple. They've come out of PSYOP operations and places where you know there's been, you know, weird and psychological and weird spiritual new age, you know, they're coming out of those places in military. They have been. There is a secret military. Colonel Amerman years ago had a video out called The Imminent Takeover of the U.S. by U.S. Military. This was someone who was who had knowledge of every base in military base in the world, who had massive information. When I tried to contact, I mean, he was cordoned off. Somebody was not letting anyone get near him any longer. But there has been a videotape out. I've got to see one time where he discusses the issue of. Now he doesn't go into the detail about how that they're multiple, that they're chosen ones, but he deals with the infiltration and the behind the scenes political, behind the scenes military, and even the behind the scenes law enforcement. The shadow government, shadow military, shadow law enforcement that's lurking and waiting for imminent takeover. But that imminent takeover is all about the Black Awakening. The Black Awakening to be unleashed has one of its goals to eliminate certain political leaders, military leaders, law enforcement leadership. I'm telling you right now that in military places and bases and so forth, and especially law enforcement, there's going to be sabotage. They're planning sabotage. Weapons rooms. Everything else. What is the reason? Because when all of a sudden, and literally when all hell breaks loose in a city, you know, thousands of phone calls are going to come into law enforcement. And law enforcement is going to scramble, like at 9/11. As they begin to scramble to take care of shooters before they can even get out there, sometimes SWAT teams, you better look to see if there's any cult multiples, people that have issues psychologically, whatever else, and you need to ask, how do they become a part of your team? Because part of the goal is they're going to take out law enforcement in their attempted response to stop the assassins and stop those who are creating the havoc, anarchy, chaos, murder, destruction, and everything else. So in those areas, in the waterworks, you know, one individual talked about it, the poisoning of waterworks. We've already had this concern concerning Islam and others that would do that to harm larger levels of population. So the areas concerning water reservoirs and fresh waters and things like that. The electrical grids. Think about if the electrical grid comes down again. Notice what happens if, you know, electric is put out for a week. The communications, if phones go down and cells go down and things like that. What's going to happen if all that's going down and havoc's breaking out and people can't even call anybody to tell them or to look for help or whatever else? Does this mean that we all need to have weapons in our own homes and preparations? Well, I say yes, and I think there's a great book out that WorldNet Daily has, and we've also put out on some of our newsletters called Shooting Back. And we're not talking about here turning the cheek over a simple issue of witnessing somebody and they slap you or they get mad at you or whatever, and you know, you still share the gospel. We're talking now whether or not people are going to allow these folks to slaughter people indiscriminately and to take people out. One of the issues I'm going to say again is that when sleepers like this are unleashed into their assigned assassin demonized personalities, barring an incredible miracle of God, the only way to take them out is to take them down. Some way physically they have to be taken down. And I already perceive that when this all breaks out, there are going to be those who are going to fight back. And, you know, there are going to be sleeper assassins that are going to be shot and taken down before they can commit suicide. And that would have been true at Columbine or anywhere else where this kind of, you know, indiscriminate murdering and killing and assassinating has occurred. And so law enforcement's training for it and on a large scale in every city, in every department, everywhere. But I'm saying look for those who will sabotage that when the Black Awakening actually comes. Now, they're also going to want to blow up buildings, take out supplies, stockpiles of stuff, and they want the resources to be messed up, because they need to create that issue of bonding. They need to create the need for water and food and, you know, and all the things that need to sustain life, so that when the Antichrist steps in to save and has all the stuff for them and begins to be able to pour everything out for them, then everybody's like, oh, he's our hero. He wants to create that hero status. The other side of all the target issuing is just simply random chaos for massive effect, unleashing demonic presence and power. Look at the seven churches of Revelation, where it deals with one of the areas where it says where Satan has his throne. In that area, we also have persecution and Antipas killed, a faithful witness of Jesus. He was martyred. So again, you see where there is a correlation between manifestation of demonic presence, persecution against the body of Christ, strongholds for Satan, and literal attacks, if not killing, of Christians will occur. The violence in that sense goes hand in hand. Hand in hand. Well, as you look over pages 14 and 15, you are going to, once again, be encouraged by me to be alerted by the Spirit of God, to understand even the Old Testament, you know, how they had to look and assign. I really believe that every local church, and nowadays, every local church should have, you know, a few people trained. Just like you have deacons there to do their job, and others, you know, you might have to have a little team of folks that are trained for spiritual protection, that they're looking for the issue of infiltration, that they're looking for, especially if you have a church or ministry that's dealing with a lot of multiples, that you need to really look over these principles and see if any of the even victims are little by little, you know, infiltrating their way in to get right next to leadership, to get a stranglehold on leadership, to bring eventually compromise, to bring division, to be there in waiting, to be placed so that down the road they're going to, you know, they're going to kill, they're going to assassinate, they're going to take out leaders. Now, let me tell you something else when it talks about targeting. When I say they got a file on you, they may already have, you know, where you live, some of your routine down, and here's what we found out. We caught twice when in two places that I've lived, the current place and years ago that was kind of we lived in a safe house for 5 years because of death threats on my daughter. We didn't live hidden in the sense afraid or away from anybody, but we did certain things so that nobody could track us. We even had law enforcement friends try to track us. The only way to track us was to follow us, and that's what occurred. But we had people, and this was just by the providence of God. Again, the idea of the lamb running circles around the dragon. God knows what they're doing, and that's why I'm saying, as we're praying for them to be exposed, pour a lot of prayer out for exposure, a lot of prayer out for revelation on folks, a lot of things that God will just literally uncover them. We're told to do that in Ephesians chapter 5 anyway. You cannot expose evil deeds of darkness unless you know what they are and where they are and what's going on. And don't forget 2 Thessalonians 2, where their whole issue is the secret power of lawlessness. They must operate during the night in secrecy, in hiddenness, with deception. They must do it that way before their time. That's how they do it. Like a snake that barely moves, the prey barely sees it coming, and then it strikes. And that's what's been happening. The frog in the kettle issue, folks, that's been going on since the 60s. And this slow cooking of the United States and in England and in Europe, Europe's far more, gone than we are. But this slow cooking of the United States spiritually to attack the church. You know, a lot of times even Christians are attacking the church or say, oh, the church is liberal. Well, listen, please understand, the body of Christ is the prime target of satanic force. And satanic force wants to bring liberalization and compromise and doctrinal compromise and moral compromise and spiritual compromise to the body of Christ. You've got to understand that. Even in Acts chapter 5, we see Satan seeking to infiltrate the church by getting in the hearts of two people who were locked into a lie and locked into testing the durability of the early church. So the satanic agenda is always to test that durability and to see. That's why local churches need to be packed with the power of God and the centrality of Jesus Christ, the operation of the Spirit of God, the clear systematic teaching of the Word of God, giftings that are operating, not just old line charismatic stuff from the 70s, or the Pentecostals of the past, in the sense that all they care about is speaking in tongues and dancing on a pew. Because cult multiples, chosen ones, find those places the easiest to infiltrate. That's right. Unchecked, they would even call it charismania, where they can come in, where nobody checks anybody blaring out in tongues. They can speak in tongues. Every chosen one I met has somebody inside that speaks in tongues, satanic tongues. They can get out there in an audience, and if the church allows everybody to do it at one time, they can be speaking in tongues and raising their hands and blaspheming God. And we've found that to happen. And they've confessed that. And when we've done deliverance over personalities that had that demonized counterfeit gift of tongues, after they were dealt with and delivered, they no longer had that demonized. Now listen, there's a true gifting that 1 Corinthians 14 tells how it should be used in a local church. Because even at the Temple of Delphi back then, they had the counterfeit giftings operating, counterfeit workings, psychic abilities, and all kinds of stuff operating, oracles operating out of the Temple of Delphi. And some of that was creeping into, because it looked similar to the church stuff. Well, we need to be deeply aware, spiritually, in our local churches and in our ministries. We need to sit back and assess what's going on and take a look and take time to pray and to ask the Lord. We might need to do a little bit of counter surveillance on people that you're dealing with and working with. You may need to check people out more thoroughly without them knowing it, so that you, when you begin to see, all kinds of flaws and lies and deceit going on, they tell you they're at one place, or they didn't give you the real name, you found out something different, they said they were at the weekend, they were at home, and then you had somebody track them, and they did go off to meetings or out of state. Well, don't tell them right away. We'll deal with this down the road. But, you begin to let the Lord lead you. As in the Old Testament, the spies of Jericho. That you can begin to see what's going on and seek the Lord and get spirit-led strategy Take a look at Acts chapter 13 when leaders came together and prayed. The mission, our mission as a Christian, never changes. But the strategy sometimes does. And so our mission to keep going, that's what Satan loves to do. He loves to stop a church. The privilege is worship. The mission is evangelism. You know, is your local church, let me ask you, are you involved in evangelism? That is the highest priority God has given in the area of mission. You might think, well, spiritual warfare isn't, but no. Spiritual warfare accompanies as part of the working as you're doing the great work of it. Matter of fact, the greatest unleashing of the power of God, signs, wonders, and even angels occurs in the context of evangelism as you see it in the book of Acts. Well, you know what? I encourage you to study over the book of Acts. Take a look at Satan's tactics. Take a look at God's work and his power. Look how God keeps running circles around the enemy, how the church is very powerful, but it's powerful in its obedient commitment to reach the world for Christ. They're out on the field. They're unleashing the gospel of the kingdom. They're getting people saved. They're coming against the demonic realm. You're seeing God back them with signs, wonders, angels, everything else when it came to doing the mission. The mission is not just sitting back listening to information, gathering information. Once you've done that, you know, keep winning souls, keep going after the lost. And along the way, you may lead some of these, you know, folks that are coming to do harm to Christ. But let's do and remember that God's central mission, even though we understand tremendous strategic things that Satan is doing, all the more we should warn the public. All the more we should be praying for a revival. All the more we should be seeking great Holy Spirit impact. And so if you read even a few books on revival, you're going to see what God is able to do. And so I pray that God is making an impact in you and through you. I pray that your prayers are powerful and like James chapter 5, that they're powerful with great effect. I pray that God's giving you Holy Spirit perception, helping you show great love and compassion in Jesus to lost souls and lead people to Christ. May God bless you. We'll look forward to seeing you in the next session. This is Russ Dizdar, ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web.